But those that die young have a very strong astral body, and they will often spend considerable time in the astral planes, of which there are seven, until they are able to cast off the astral body. The astral plane appears to give spirits who had very little earth time an opportunity to find their way spiritually. They can interact with both evil ex-mortals and spiritually advanced ex-mortals here, and they have an added ability that deception is not possible on this plane. However, if they are attracted to earthly pleasures, this desire will remain, and can prove their undoing. Those that fall into this category without exception have no understanding of what really happens after death. Many believe that the dead lie asleep till the great resurrection. With that in mind, they conclude they can't be dead. Others don't even have that concept and just complain that they can no longer see because of the darkness. But later they recover their vision, and find a world that is very similar to Earth, yet with differences. Other spirits of a very material bent find themselves in the earth plane. They may have had an unexpected bad experience, such as being murdered, and this may have left them with a desire for revenge. It seems the shock of a sudden death may indeed be a factor in how successfully one transitions. They may also be of limited spiritual development, but not necessarily bad. Another reason is a desire to look after a family, or even to try to enjoy or protect material possessions. They may then hang around their last place of living for a long period of time. Some are intensely religious, but are the mindless type. Yet they start out no better off than someone who never gave life after death a moment's thought. In the astral plane, it is possible to eat and drink, and apparently the astral body will produce excreta. However, there is no need for either, and this is typical of the choices spirits face. If they indulge the desire for food and drink, this generally leads to a dark entity suggesting at some time that they can get a better experience by obsessing a living mortal. And since that carries a heavy spiritual penalty, eventually they pass into the hells. There are churches here too, but sadly they seem incapable of actually teaching anything more useful than that learned on earth, and many of the pastors are here, precisely because they are not spiritual. There are also a class of entity which we often see as ghosts, who are not actually earthbound spirits. Specifically, in the case where a mortal has a lot of negative experiences, as might be if they were tortured, murdered, or otherwise badly treated, these experiences have to be resolved. And until they are resolved, which includes the individuals who caused the trauma, they may leave an energetic signature which behaves and looks like an earthbound. In fact, these are simply astral shells, devoid of a soul, because the individual has moved into the spirit's spheres, but this energetic bundle still may be tied to a location, or another entity in darkness. It is very difficult from our side of the veil to know whether one is dealing with an astral shell sans soul, or a real spirit entity. These astral shells are dissipated only when the emotional issues surrounding them are resolved. There are some other entities in the astral plane, some of which are wonderful, and others which are dangerous. Provided that you have not distanced yourself from your guide, you will be protected, but if you have totally ignored spiritual matters, your guide will not be there to protect you, and the experience can be very unpleasant. While a spirit body can experience pain, and even be apparently damaged, it repairs itself rapidly, but it cannot be destroyed. The astral body will also repair itself normally, but as it is not eternal in nature, apparently it can be completely destroyed by some of the evil elementals, and this results in that dark spirit passing into the dark planes of the first sphere, hell. This sort of thing can only happen in the lowest of the astral divisions, which are considered the antechamber of hell. You will find plenty of New Age folk will deny there is any hell at all. They will tell you they have never had any feedback from the other side to suggest anything like it. They report that all spirits are loving and that there is only love. That may be so, mostly because very few spirits in hell are keen to admit this to loved ones on earth. Certainly there are not a great number of detailed reports of life in the darkest spheres, but there are enough to satisfy a determined researcher. I have personally worked with people who are seriously troubled by dark spirits, and my mother has also told me my sister is in darkness. And, once you understand how the universe works, There has to be a place where those who are seriously out of harmony reside until they learn. It is just inconceivable that God would suddenly make loving spirits out of those who have chosen to be unloving. No, our progress is entirely dependent upon ourselves. That is what it means to be a free will creature. What is it like in hell? Here is a description: in this hell of mine, and there are many like it, instead of beautiful homes, as the other spirits described, we have dirty, rotten hovels all crooked and decayed, with all the foul smells of a charnel house 10 times intensified, and instead of beautiful lawns and green meadows and leafy woods filled with musical birds making the echoes ring with their songs, we have barren wastes, and holes of darkness and gloom and the cries and cursings of spirits of damnation without hope, and instead of living, silvery waters we have stagnant pools filled with all kinds of repulsive reptiles and vermin, and smells of inexpressible, nauseating stinks. I tell you that these are all real, and not creatures of the imagination or the outflowing of bitter recollections. And as for love, it has never shown its humanizing face in all the years that I have been here, only cursings and hatred and bitter scathings and imprecations, and grinning spirits with their witch-like cacklings. No rest, no hope, no kind words or ministering hand to wipe away the scalding tears which so often flow in mighty volumes. No, hell is real and hell is here. We do not have any fire and brimstone, or grinning devils with pitchforks and hoofs and horns as the churches teach, but what is the need or necessity for such accompaniments? They would not add to the horrors or to our torments. I tell you, my friend, that I have faintly described our homes in these infernal regions, and I cannot picture them as they are. But the horror and pity of it all is that hope does not come to us with one faint smile to encourage us that there may at some time be an ending to all these torments, and in our hopeless despair we realize that our doom is fixed for all eternity. See a later explanation about the duration of hell. This is, of course, but one description, and as mentioned earlier, you should not be surprised to discover many variations on a theme. Some hells are places of isolation, others are cities of shared horrors, presided over by tyrannical rulers with very nasty temperaments, and stronger wills than their subjects. Perhaps we should not use the word hell, because it is not a permanent situation, although commonly believed to be so by its inhabitants. There is no eternal damnation. In fact, there is no damnation at all. Hell is simply a place where dreadful spirits live, until they choose not to be dreadful. So how long could you be there then? It all depends on you. How low in the hells you are, and how soon you start to try to get out. Yes, but how long? From feedback, there are 2 ways out: the normal way, which is pretty slow, and the shortcut way. The normal way involves the spirit realizing that he or she is there because of their attitudes and values, and then deciding to change, and slowly changing, by being kind to his companions. If you were really bad on earth, you could expect this process to take longer than a lifetime, but it is often long because it may take the individual a very long time to discover that they are causing this unpleasant experience by virtue of their own behaviors. There is another curious thing about the hells that spirits trying to change seem to be more at the mercy of their compatriots than those who are not interested in change. The hells also seem to have well demarked districts which are physically hard to exit, both in terms of finding a way out, and in getting past those that would prevent your exit. Generally, it is only with the assistance of a substantially more developed spirit companion who is tasked with this job that anyone gets out. Some historically bad spirits, like the Roman emperors, seem to have spent up to 1,000 years in darkness. Julius Caesar was still in hell in 1915, but got out with some help, in 17 months. That means he had been in hell for 2,040 years, a very long time indeed. Judas also learnt of the shortcut, naturally from the apostles. Apparently Andrew and Mary Magdalene were always close to Judas, and they encouraged him to apply the knowledge that Jesus had taught them. Judas had not really understood these spiritual teachings, and in fact neither did the apostles till after Jesus had departed. The first thought that probably you might realize, if you end up here, is that you did not appear to have a big day of judgment. You did not end up in front of God, and get judged. In fact, judgment happened every day and every second of your mortal life. When you broke a spiritual law, your soul was encrusted immediately, and that was that. Now you have to in effect clean your soul yourself. You could have done that on earth, if you had chosen to, but it did not seem to affect your material life having an encrusted soul. Well, I might debate how much real happiness and peace you felt on earth with a heavily encrusted soul, but you can retort that it did not affect starting the Ferrari, or distributing illicit drugs, whatever took your fancy. So how bad is hell really? It depends. Frankly, the upper reaches of hell would be better than many folks' experience of life on earth. The darkest depths are not good, however. Here it is reported one can be in total darkness, unable to perceive anyone or anything, totally alone with only your own thoughts and memories. Many spirits report that they would choose annihilation, if it were an option. The emotional darkness and irritations and attentions of the other dark spirits make it a very unpleasant experience. It also appears that in the lowest of levels, the spirit bodies are very dense and deformed. They appear to be affected by things like thirst and fire, even though these things do not affect more advanced spirits. It also appears possible to inflict physical damage on a spirit body, at the lowest levels, so that they do suffer injury and pain. And because the spirit body repairs itself very quickly, this pain can be repeated over and over again. The ability to move above the surface seems absent because these dark spirits are so gross. So they can be trapped in physical obstacles like swamps or holes, or have to physically ascend cliffs and mountains, while trying to get out of some divisions. What are my chances of ending up there? If you are a normal person, neither particularly good, nor particularly bad, then you will probably land up at the top of the first sphere. It could be a bit lower, or possibly a bit higher. You might not ever realize that this is hell, and just simply think life after death is simply nowhere near what you had expected. On the other hand, if you were a poor African, or Asian, eking out a tough existence on earth, battling disease and hunger, you may think this hell is a huge improvement over your earth experiences. If you have really tried on earth, and consider that you adhered strictly to your religious beliefs, and more particularly those relating to living in love, and caring for your fellows, which basically all religions espouse, you might make the second sphere, or higher. But statistically, the normal result is the first sphere. So how do you get out of darkness? Actually, help is always available, although right at the bottom. It may take some time before that help can be perceived. The problem is that most spirits in darkness are too embarrassed to even acknowledge the help offered to them. We are none of us an island, and thus everyone knows someone, and so it's almost always the case that there is someone who you know, who is more advanced, and who you could therefore trust. The more advanced spirits are always trying to help those that are less developed, even in darkness, particularly if there is a personal relationship. But their advances are most often rebuffed. So the first lesson is to be prepared to ask for and accept help. The spirits that can help are those that are visually bright, or brighter than your companions. They will be loving too, which is always a clear indication. The second lesson is to know that there is hope, and that hell is not eternal. The Christian churches have done mortal man a great disservice in preaching that hell is eternal. Spirits either believe this themselves, or hear it constantly from their companions. Thus it is very hard to have hope. Admittedly, the environment is not conducive to hope. Imagine this, it seemed as if I was standing at the top of a mountain or hill. Below I could see a pretty valley, with forests, meadows, springs and streams. I heard birds singing, it was like a beautiful summer day. Suddenly, everything began to dry off. The green colors turned brown, the leaves fell off the trees, and after a short time, I saw a disastrous landscape. Everything was dry, the earth cracked, a few trunks like skeletons without life, the streams had disappeared, leaving behind only their stony beds. There was no sunshine anymore, everything seemed dark, like a winter dawn in the northern regions, but without snow, and the silence of death reigned. Let's assume you accept help. There are two types of advice that you will get. The first is basically to develop your natural love, and to start helping others. One needs to repent, in the sense of accepting responsibility for where you are, and wanting to change. But most of all, one needs to learn to be more loving. This, as one can expect, is not easy, particularly when those around you are not loving. While saying that this is the category of help you might get, if it was a Catholic priest offering help, you might expect him to suggest you follow his faith. The extent to which this sort of narrow religious advice is given really depends on the level of the spirit offering the advice. I tend to think that the more advanced spirits do realize that many conventional religions have much the same effect, and that therefore love is the common denominator. But lower down, most spirits cling tenaciously to their religious beliefs. So you may get a lot of pastors, all favoring their brand of religion, trying to help you. But there are also many organized groups of people, who do not ascribe to any specific religious belief, who offer help to those in the dark plains. They typically have names like the Brotherhood of Hope. The reason why this process is so slow is that we are as we think. Amazingly, thoughts have been described as real, and as having a real existence in this realm. We have to change our thoughts in order to change, and that can be hard. The second category of advice that you might receive introduces a totally new concept. Here you will be told that if you pray from the heart, soul, to God and ask for His divine love, you will feel this love. It may take a few days, or a week, but you will feel this love is a real sensation. If you keep on asking, each time you will receive a small portion of divine love. This love is a physical reality, and will purify your soul. This is a shortcut method. Not only does it get you out of darkness faster than any other way, but also it will accelerate your spiritual progress through the heavens. Many dark spirits have attested to its effectiveness, but they also caution how hard it is to think of spiritual things while in hell. Of course, since almost nobody has heard of this shortcut method, they may dismiss it out of hand. But since it promises almost instant results, I suggest it is well worth trying. You don't have anything to lose. This technique also works on earth. That is to say, you can feel the love, and you will notice yourself changing over the next year or so. And we have her confirmation that humans following this method are in general much brighter in their spirit body than the general mortal population. It does something at a very fundamental level. The first sphere. Hell is of course in the first sphere, but most of us would not consider the upper reaches of the first sphere as being in darkness. That is because we are used to Earth, a planet that is itself largely in darkness. Above hell one finds the Twilight Zone, and then Summerland. These are spiritualist terms. Some spiritualists teach that Summerland is the third sphere, but that is apparently not so. They are simply numbering sub-spheres as major spheres. In the upper reaches of the first sphere, spirits use tools to create things, just like here. Later on, this is unnecessary. They live in homes, and learn how to manipulate their spirit bodies. They can, for example, create a perfect physique, or a full head of hair. Most spirits choose a physical form from somewhere between 20 and 30, one which I guess represents their physical prime. They also discover making love in the spirit is a bit different, and very enjoyable. It is accomplished by a sort of fusion of energy between the souls. Having been fortunate enough to experience it a few times, in out-of-body experiences, I can report that it is indeed something to look forward to. Apparently some spirits really get into this new love-making. Homes are provided too. The way in which buildings and other created items are made is intriguing, and explained by Monsignor Robert Hugh Benson. Apparently you can decorate or change your home. Folks specialize in all these activities, including for example making flowers. The flowers are eternal in nature, and responsive. I rather suspect we will not have an autumn in heaven. And that slightly saddens me. There is no decay, so I can't see how one achieves the magic show of autumn leaves that we have here on Earth. Even their homes in the upper planes of the first sphere are very comfortable, allowing for the fact that they don't have kitchens or bathrooms, but later on they seem to be better than the grandest mansion one might imagine. In hell they are hovels or caves, although apparently many cities also exist there. The old Bible phrase, "In my Father's house are many mansions," has more than a ring of truth. But the weather is so benevolent that if you did not want to live in a house, you could entirely do without one. Animals and pets are found in spirit. There is no doubt at all, if you have a much-loved cat, dog or even elephant, that you will enjoy its companionship again. It is not the case that all animals automatically survive death, but much-loved ones are found again. It is likely that this is a creation emanating from the love that we hold for that animal. On the other hand, apparently there are places in the spirit world where you can go and see the dinosaurs, so no doubt all manner of animal can be found, for our enjoyment. Of course many pets pass over before us, and thus someone will be looking after them there. Strangely many spirits report feeling cold when they first arrive, but later this is not a problem. It is quite widely accepted that spirits are cold when they appear in our realm, and at least one spirit has reported being able to feel the heat from a fire in our realm, as well as clearly hearing sound from our realm. When they first arrive in spirit, spirits continue to talk, and it is also reported that they can breathe, although that seems surprising. Later on they simply use thought communication. Spirits spend a great deal of time discussing God. Does he exist, etc. Naturally religious groups exist, and spirits will follow those beliefs by attending church, etc. Spiritual ignorance abounds, as one would expect. That does not mean spirits are unopinionated. Indeed it seems some of the most opinionated spirits can be found in the first and second spheres. The old adage of the empty can making the most noise seems true of spirit as well. Arguments are even more intense than on earth. This is because each spirit will now have some experiences that support their belief. The level of ignorance is actually very high, but that does not stop many spirits attending seances and coming through with a great deal of misplaced authority. These are the spirits who may use Jesus' name, or even call themselves God. One also finds spirits here who are mischievous and immature, rather than evil. They will also delight in frightening mortals at seances. Summerland has been described as having a climate similar to California, but without the pollution no doubt. There are a great number of children in Summerland, but they are not found lower, which is quite reasonable. The landscape is beautiful, with pretty villages and cities. Spirits can choose to live in a city, or in the country. I may finally get that water view I always wanted. The cities don't have roads. Indeed there are no roads anywhere, and typically the height of the buildings is limited to a few stories. So the typical landscape of a city would be quite different to what we might be used to, with no pavements or tables on sidewalks. There is still a degree of negativity, which is illustrated by gossip, differences of opinion, and anger. But most spirits are pretty used to that from Earth, and probably don't really notice it. Sports are indulged, but there are issues playing ball sports. Apparently the gravity is quite different, and to launch a ball one needs to use thought power. Once so launched, it will not stop until redirected again by thought. So sending a ball towards the goal would always reach the goal, and rather seems to make sports such as football and golf irrelevant. That might hugely upset some folks, so I hope there is something as addictive for the golfing for eternity. I was very pleased to discover one can have a boat, if one has the development, and that this can be motorized by thought. It is even possible to sail, but as the winds are very gentle, I guess it is again largely thought-powered. It is here in the first sphere that spirits tend to discover what they really want to do, and what talents they have. As they don't have to work, and there is no authority chasing them, they are totally free to devote whatever time they like to pursuits. Spirits find that they can follow material pursuits here, but in time the attractiveness of that fades, and suddenly they begin to realize that spirituality is important, and a greater source of happiness. Here the spirits find that their desires result in changes to their spirit bodies. So, although they do not have conscious control over this aspect, they do look attractive, with perfect bodies. In time these pleasures pull, and the spirit finds itself drawn more to spiritual avenues, and that this gives it increased happiness. They are then starting to progress out of this sphere. The second sphere. The essential requirement for a spirit to reach the second sphere is the recognition that material pursuits are limited, and does not lead to real happiness. In the second sphere, spirits choose their spiritual path. These are by no means uniform, and in general, if a spirit decides later to change to another spiritual path, they will return to this sphere. In fact, there are two great classifications of spiritual path, but this distinction is probably not obvious to most spirits. The first classification is the natural love path. In this class, one finds all the religions, and even those following an intellectual, a non-religious path. Slowly but surely, spirits become more loving, and advance steadily through the spheres, stopping at the sixth. The sixth is a heaven of complete happiness, so complete that spirits there lack nothing, and cannot envisage anything better. The second classification is the divine love path. If you took the shortcut out of hell, you will have found so much happiness flowing into your soul, that this will be the path you will follow. Not many spirits follow this path, however. In this second sphere, which can be called a sphere of decision, it is really like a kindergarten. In the first spheres, many things were built by machine. Here in the second, spirits are learning to use their spirit powers, assisted by other more advanced spirits. There are many institutions of learning, and this sphere is well known to many spiritualists. They learn to modify their clothes, to build their houses using spiritual power, and to even modify aspects of their spiritual bodies. This exposure to the spiritual powers that are available generates a state of euphoria, and as a result many spirits stay here a long time. It is such fun. That is no bad thing. There is no timetable to keep. In deciding what development path to follow, spirits are influenced by those from more advanced spheres. Thus, a spirit from the fourth sphere may well extol the virtues of his path, and the beauty of his sphere. Spirits in many cases retain some of the spiritual ideas they had in the first sphere, but they may be beginning to modify those to some extent. Some of them have a period of confusion. For example, if they believe that they should now stand before God, or perhaps Jesus. As that does not happen, it takes a while to rationalize, and evolve a new spiritual or religious strategy. Jesus does visit these spirits, but they do not generally recognize him. He cannot display himself as he really is, because his spiritual brightness is far too powerful to be revealed in these lower spheres, and hence they generally do not accord him any special status. We have been told that the sun is like a candle compared to his spiritual brightness. The second sphere is really a real heaven, as it has immense facilities for study, facilities that cannot be dreamed of on earth. Eventually, however, each and every spirit eventually arrives at the highest plane in this sphere. There a tremendous change occurs. They remember that they have got this far through the help given them by numerous spirits, and a great urge overtakes them to perform a similar function. It is an atonement task. The third sphere. Spirits in the third sphere have both sufficient love and spiritual understanding to begin to perform a useful task of helping other spirits. Because of their greater spiritual development, they can also begin to perceive the will of God, although this is not because they can perceive God. Typically, the tasks that they undertake have something to do with their earth life. I came across a fellow getting a lot of help from an ex-playgirl. This fellow had very strong sexual desires, and she was trying very hard to influence him away from those. Clearly, she had to atone for inciting so many fellows to sexual desires by being a playgirl. Another may be a pastor, who has spent a lifetime spreading false doctrines. He may find himself trying to undo those false beliefs. This work can be very hard, and these spirits do experience frustration. However, this does not mean that all these spirits are teaching only truth. These spirits still have many of their earth beliefs, provided always that none of these are seriously harmful from a spiritual perspective. Where that is the case, they do not progress, until they come to a realization that their belief is false. Those spirits following the divine love path may spend a long time in this sphere, because they feel the importance of the task of teaching this new truth. When finally what started out as a work of atonement, and now becomes a vocational choice, The spirit is ready to move on. Here is a description of a home in the third sphere. Yes, my home is very beautiful and I am perfectly delighted with it. It is made of white marble and is surrounded by lawns and flowers and trees of various kinds. The grass is so very green and the flowers are so beautiful and variegated.